This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be doing family law, but we're focusing on the Elkins Family Law Task Force report's recommendations for increasing access to justice. My guests are Associate Justice Lori Zeilan of the Court of Appeal in Los Angeles, Bonnie Huff, Managing Attorney, Center for Families, Children, and the Courts of the Administrative Office of the Courts, and Stephen Rubin, Certified Specialist in Family Law with law offices in San Francisco. The Elkins Family Law Task Force, chaired by Associate Justice Lori Zeilan of the Court of Appeal, was appointed in May 2008 to conduct a comprehensive review of family law proceedings and recommend to the Judicial Council of California proposals that will increase access to justice, ensure due process, and provide for more effective and consistent rules, policies, and procedures. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. I welcome to you to the program, and Justice Zeilan, thank you very much for joining us from Orange County.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Very nice to have you here. Steve, if you would, this all comes about from a case called Elkins versus Superior Court. What happened there, and why did this get you all together for the task force?
Well, it was an extraordinarily important case. This case was litigated in 2005 in the Contra Costa Superior Court. And Mr. Elkins, Jeffrey Elkins, was not represented by counsel. He was in pro per. Now, under the local rules of the Contra Costa County, they had a very comprehensive trial scheduling order and required all exhibits and all testimony had to be offered by written declaration. And Mr. Elkins, unfortunately, missed the deadline. He did not file his declarations on time, nor his exhibits. And Judge Baskin, who was the trial judge, excluded his effort to the late filing. He filed 2 days before the trial and excluded all of his evidence, mm-hmm. did not consider it, and essentially entered all the evidence in his wife's favor, ruled obviously in her favor, and the rest resulted in a terrible injustice for Mr. Elkins. And ultimately, a writ of mandate and a appeal was filed, and it ultimately came up to the Supreme Court for review, and it was reversed and remanded. And in that case, the court held that the essentially the right of to present direct testimony was a violation of due process, along with all the other draconian rules that were imposed by the Contra Costa County trial scheduling order. And as a result of that, you know, that would have been enough for Mr. Elkins. However, as a result of that that ruling, Justice George, in his opinion, recommended the Judicial Council establish a task force, including representative of the Family Law Bench and Bar and the Judicial Council Advisory Committee, to study and propose measures to assist the trial court in achieving efficiency and fairness and access to justice. And that was our mission. So it took a Supreme Court case to generate that kind of energy and commitment that our task force conducted for the last 2 years.
Let me let you all know that the first half hour of the program is the statewide version of the program, and we're going to be talking about some of the major issues that the Elkins Family Law Task Force actually has made recommendations regarding changes, improvement, greater access to justice. Those of you who listen to the program live, whether it's in the Bay Area or on the Internet at www.kalw.org, you'll have a chance to talk with my guests on the air in the second half hour of the program. So if you'll be patient with us, we're going to take the first half hour and set the groundwork for you. Justice Zeilan, would you do this? Tell us something about the task force, would you?
Well, it was a fascinating process because more people applied to be on this task force than any other task force in the history of Judicial Council task forces, which is really quite something. And the applications came from all over. At the end of the application process, we had a 39-person task force, which was very broadly representative and very diverse. There were judges, both trial court judges and appellate judges. There were court administrators. There were lawyers in private practice. There were family law specialists and people who work within the courts, people who worked in legal services. So it was a very, very broad group of people who came together all with the desire to look at these issues of family law. In the course of our work, we took almost 2 years to do the work. We had focus groups. We met with groups of lawyers and judges. We did surveys. We had enormous participation from the public. People came to our meetings. They wanted to talk to us. We had days of public hearings, both in Northern and Southern California, and people wanted to be heard. They wanted us to hear their stories, and they wanted us to help them make the process better. We had a very wonderful staff who helped us do the work that we had to do the research. We had a group of people who did whose task on the task force was to look everywhere around the world, and I do mean around the world, to see what other jurisdictions were doing with family law, what they were doing better than we were doing, and what ideas we could learn from them and bring home to California to do our work. And at the end of that process, we ended up making recommendations in five key areas. They were efficient and effective procedures to ensure justice, fairness, due process, and safety. Effective child custody procedures. Ensuring meaningful access to justice for all litigants, and that means both those who have lawyers and those who do not. Enhancing the status of and respect for family law litigants and the process through judicial leadership, and laying the foundation for future innovation. So we thought quite broadly, and we made recommendations that covered a very large number of issues that we think were important to making sure that family law works better for the people who come to court.
Justice Zeilon, I happen to be a member of the San Mateo County DA's office, and our superior court a few months ago unfortunately had to terminate 28 members of the clerk's office, the superior court clerk's office. I say that because obviously the financial situation of this state is very difficult. Governor Schwarzenegger today announced that there would be furloughs continued three times a month for all state employees. With the wonderful work, frankly, that you and the other members of the task force have done and all the recommendations, what is your reaction to the financial situation of the state, and is what you have done going to be curbed because of that?
Well, you know, of course, the situation you describe in your county is echoed all around the state, and it's a terrible loss to everyone that the courts are not able to provide services in the way that they would like to right now. And the budget situation is a very real problem for all of us. We made recommendations that will allow us to reallocate some resources within the courts and use some of our resources in a more effective way. And many of the recommendations, as a result, can be implemented as soon as we can get the changes adopted and in place, and will not require budgetary allocations at this point. There are some things that will have to be delayed until the financial situation in the state is better, but there are many things we can do now. And indeed, if I can ask Bonnie Huff to address this, there are many things that are already underway, even though the report was just recently adopted.
Let's take a brief break for just a moment. It is our Call a Lawyer night, and I want to let you know that we have a number of attorneys here in more than seven different areas of the law. And the number is 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. If you have a question, comment, or some discussion you want to have with one of our attorneys for Call a Lawyer night, please call in. There's no obligation on your part. This is a great voluntary effort of these attorneys, and it's a great benefit to you if you'd like to take advantage of it. 1-800-525-9917. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about the Elkins Family Law Task Force report's recommendations for increasing access to justice. And my guests are Associate Justice Lori Zelon of the Court of Appeal in the Los Angeles area, Bonnie Huff, Managing Attorney, Center for Families, Children and the Courts, the Administrative Office of the Courts, and Stephen Rubin, Certified Specialist in Family Law. And Stephen has been a great help to me in doing family law programs. He's been the person over at least nearly 2 years who's helped me with topics and guests of putting on the air of the programs funded by the family law section of the state bar. Bonnie, would you respond in terms of Justice Zelon's request to have you say some words about this?
Certainly. The task force made over 200 recommendations, so there is a lot for us to work on as we implement, and there are indeed many things that we can do now and have already started. So there's actually an implementation task force that is a smaller group of members of the task force that's been established to make sure that this report doesn't sit on the shelf, that things do move ahead, and that we're working with appropriate committees, with other organizations, and again, just ensuring that things move ahead. So, for example, we've already had many educational forums already for judges. One of the things that the task force recommended was some specific educational classes for judges in some of the areas, for court staff. We've done trainings for court self-help staff on some of the concepts and ideas. So that education is already in place. And in fact, we had a full-day summit of judicial officers, court administrators, self-help, and family court services mediators to talk about the recommendations given our financial situation and what we can do, the steps we can take to implement that. And I think oftentimes, you know, when you in the system, when you step back and you think about things with a fresh set of eyes, you come up with some solutions and ways you can reorganize and restructure and just thinking about things fresh. And I know from those discussions that many courts reported that they were going to go back, that they'd had, you know, just the idea of hearing from what other courts were doing and that opportunity to talk together. They knew that they could take steps. And I think that's just really important to get things going. I mean, you can't, there's a lot here to do. Also, staff has already started doing a draft of a statewide rules of court in family law that would really expand the current rules. And Steve will talk about why that's actually important. I know some of us go, oh, gosh. But we're already looking at all the various local rules and trying to figure out what things probably make sense to do consistently on a statewide level so that that's available for the task force to take a look at and start reviewing it so we can send that out for comment and have those consistent rules in place in, you know, the near future. We've also started working on simplifying rules and processes. In fact, I was working...
I'm sorry, simplifying...
Rules and processes.
Okay. All right.
I'm
all
sorry.
Right. All right.
So, for example, today I was looking at a draft of a form. It's currently a four-page form, and one of the court's people on Elkin said, can we make this one page?
And consumer-friendly.
Consumer-friendly.
Not the IRS approach.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But consumer-friendly. Huh?
That's right. It's and I think it's a great start, and I'm, you know, I think if we can make that work. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the other kind of thing, because as Justice Zelon said, there are a lot of things, if we can simplify and streamline, we'll have savings mm-hmm. that could then be used for other things that will require additional resources. Also, just couple other things, you know, working with the bar to increase pro bono, to help attorneys who do want to do volunteer work, who, for example, may not have a lot of family law experience. Mm-hmm. And if they had some family law education and maybe mentoring with somebody like Steve or somebody who's, you know, experienced in this area.
You're talking about the local bar association, county by county? Or
right now, we're working with the state bar association to develop trainings and resources.
Yes.
And so I think, and then also some statewide solutions. We're expanding our self-help website We have a very extensive self-help website and adding information. We've just added a YouTube channel for the California courts. And that's great because it's free. And we're taking videos that have been done by different courts and legal aids and cutting them up a little bit. But they have, for example, how do you produce evidence to the court? How do you make an objection to the court? That kind of thing. Very short snippets so that people can watch that.
Where will consumers be able to find
that? That will be on the California Courts website, which is www.courtinfo, all one word, courtinfo.ca.gov. And then just click on self-help.
Yeah, all right, because I have promoted this website for quite a while. And so let me give it to you again so that you have it. It's www.courtinfo.ca.gov/self-help. Steve, before we went on the air, and Justice Zeilon, please don't let us prevent you from saying anything, but since you're at a disadvantage by phone, let us know when you want to speak.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Steve, before we went on the air, you mentioned the difference in ways of different courts dealing with ex parte domestic violence restraining orders. Give us a brief example and what your concern is about that and what the task force, is recommending in terms of dealing with something like this.
Right. I think one of the major issues we found is that we have local rules and then we have local rules where a judge has his own or her has her own rules about how to do things. So you have it. We discovered very early on that all of us were dealing with this complexity, and how do we reduce the complexity not only for attorneys, but of course for self-represented litigants. And a perfect example is how ex parte domestic violence orders are.
What does that mean, ex parte?
That means a no-noticed order where you're going in.
One person
wants to get an order of protection, perhaps having his or her mate removed, a temporary custody order.
Removed from the home.
Exactly. Yeah. I hear, as a judge pro tem in San Francisco, the domestic violence calendar probably every other month. And so I'm familiar with that process. But our process in San Francisco is if you file your papers before 1, you will...
Before 1 p.m.
You get a ruling by 4, and then it's out the door. Now, in Marin County, the process is very different. There is an ex-party calendar call. You must physically go there at 8:30 in the morning. It is calendared. It is then eventually heard and then
issued.
That same day. However, Alameda has another process. Contra Costa has another process. When you're dealing with emergency situations, there has to be uniformity. There shouldn't be a difference between driving over one bridge or another as to that process. For example, people may live in San Francisco. They move to Marin County. The motion practice is different there. To get a hearing, you have to reserve it in advance to get a hearing date, whereas when you file your papers in San Francisco Superior, a court date is assigned. So you have this, and so as complex as it is for a family law specialist myself, we totally sympathize for the self-represented litigants because they have to go through that maze as well. And so one of the important task force objectives is to create uniformity and simplicity. The one thing I was going to bring up with Bonnie talked about is a form. For example, most people may not realize that when you file for dissolution of marriage, you don't automatically get a hearing for child support or spousal support or custody. We talked very much about, how do we simplify it? And an example would be, when you file for your dissolution or legal separation, you check a box, say, is there a legal custody issue? Is there a physical custody issue? Is there a support issue? That check mark gets us into a case management stream so that the litigants will then be put into that process rather than being forced to file an OSC or a motion to get their matter heard. And then the other thing was that we all identified the importance of early intervention, early case management, getting people through the process in a streamlined way.
How do you encourage, Justice Zeilon, how do you encourage the public who may be self-represented, which I understand the last statistic that I am aware of was that I think, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think that 75% of people who are in dissolution proceedings are self-represented. Am I right on that statistic?
pretty close. The statistic is pretty much that in 80% of family law cases, one or both parties is self-represented at some point during the case.
How do you get across to the public, the self-represented public, that the court is going to be more consumer friendly? How do you do that? And then I'd like to take, if you wouldn't mind taking, let's say, half a minute with that, then I want to take a very brief break.
Well, one of the ways is by getting out information about the report. And the other thing is that we recognize that information is so valuable to people. And one of the big pieces of our recommendation is that we make more information available to people who come to court at a very early stage so they know what to expect and how to handle it.
When you say come to court at a very, very early stage, what does that mean, practically speaking?
Well, we'd like to start giving them information from the first filing, getting them into places where they understand what services are available to them, what services are available to help them resolve the case by themselves. Because in family matters, if the family can resolve it itself, it's going to be a better solution for them. And we want to give them the tools to help them solve the problems and to have the court step in only when the families need it.
All right, it's our Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here. We do have a family lawyer here who has been with us many times, Janet Lee Frankel. She's a certified specialist in family law. She's here. I'll tell you the rest of the attorneys as we progress into the second half hour. But the number is, if you'd like to talk with one of our attorneys off the air in workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, of course, tax law, real estate, and tomorrow, bankruptcy law, in case you're interested in finding out whether or not you're a candidate for going into bankruptcy, we'll have a certified specialist on his 800 number, and I'll give you more details on that in a little bit. So for Call a Lawyer tonight, it's 1-800-525-9917. And for those of you who have questions for my guests on the air, if you'll be patient, in just about 10 minutes or so, we'll be taking calls on the air. And that number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guests are, and we are, by the way, talking about the Elkins Family Law Task Force report, the recommendations which are making access to the court much better, much more consumer-friendly, much more effective for families. And my guests are Associate Justice Lori Zelon of the Court of Appeal in Los Angeles, Bonnie Huff, Managing Attorney, Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, Administrative Office of the Courts, and Stephen Rubin, Certified Specialist in Family Law. And if we could, let's get back. Let me do this, if you would, Justice Zelon. One of the things that I noticed in reviewing the report is that there appears to be quite a bit of stress on mediation. Right now, we have a situation where when it comes to child custody, there is mandatory mediation that the court requires. What are you concerned about in increasing mediation in other areas of family law?
Well, it's not just increasing mediation. Mediation is a tool, and it's a tool to help people come to resolution of their problems. As I was saying before, one of the things that we believe deeply is that we need to help families solve their own problems, but because they know their situation better than anyone ever can. And so there are a number of recommendations in the report about not only increasing access to mediation for families outside of the child custody area as well as within it, but early neutral evaluations, early settlement processes, early assistance from the court to put the parties in a place where they can resolve, if not all of their issues, at least some of their issues, and limit the number of issues that they have to litigate in court. Our theory is that while we must always be mindful of people's rights, that is the key, that their rights are protected, that we want to make it easier for people to go through the process to end up with the result they want and to end up with a result that they feel comfortable with.
Bonnie, would you do this? Would tell us some of the specific issues that you and other members of the task force are concerned about.
Well, I think that process of both ensuring that we provide settlement opportunities for people. I had many clients when I was in private practice many years ago. But I had many people who really didn't want to fight. They just wanted to get their case resolved and needed assistance in doing that. And when they could hire an attorney, that was, you know, one of the things that we tried to do. But when people don't have attorneys, one of the things that the court can do is provide a neutral service or refer to some of the wonderful mediation programs that help people resolve their issues. A lot of times it really is just sitting down, having enough information to know what an appropriate decision is, that there are, you know, certain things that, for example, that there's a child support guideline and that the court needs to follow it, and we can run the guideline and say, you know, you can discuss this some more because you can make a decision that's different from this. But here's basically where the court would probably come down. Anyway, that kind of information is incredibly critical. The other thing that I think, though, that the task force also really was concerned about and meant large part from the Elkins case is also that it's very important for people who have family law cases who need the assistance of a judge to make a decision to be able to get into court and have that be able to present their case to the court and have a decision made in a timely manner. And that was that's the other part. And I think part of our hope is if we can help people resolve their cases, then we can minimize the amount of time, the number of people that actually have to have a hearing in front of the judge, which allows the judge more time and speeds the process up. You don't have to wait as long for a court hearing. So I think that's a really important kind of thing. And one of the things we heard that was very distressing is that in some courts, for example, if you have a trial in family law, you might have a trial one day for 2 hours and then next week for 3 hours and then next month for 4 hours.
In other words, your trial is broken up because of the court's schedule with other cases, with other procedures, et cetera.
Exactly.
And we're
trying to deal with that because I think that's difficult for everybody. Yeah. It prolongs the process. It's hard for everybody to remember and just makes things more complicated. So that's one of the recommendations is that courts really look at their scheduling to try to enable people just to be able to go on a day-to-day trial and get it finished.
What about this? I know one of your recommendations is to make attorneys more available for children. Now, Justice Zeilung, what does that really mean and why?
Well, parents are very concerned that their children's voices are not being heard by the courts, that it's hard for the children to express an opinion on what should happen to them, and they are, while not parties to the family law matter, they're deeply affected by it. And, of course, the children bear the brunt of long-term effects if things don't go well in the family law process. So we are looking for ways to have the child's voice heard appropriately, and it's an important issue and it's a delicate issue because some children who are very young are articulate and have a position and they want to be heard. Some children would never want to go talk to a strange person in a black robe, even if the person wasn't wearing the black robe when they talked to them.
There are a lot of adults like that.
There are. And so one of the issues is how do you make a determination as to which children should come in at one point in the proceeding and how you evaluate it. And our recommendations ended up being, after a lot of discussion, that there could be no one-size-fits-all rule on that.
Justice,
family will differ.
We have come to the end of the statewide version of the program. And however, for those of you who listen to the program live at in the Bay Area and on the Internet, www.kalw.org, we will continue for another half hour. All right, it is about 729 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. It is our Call a Lawyer night where you have an opportunity to talk to an attorney, either one or more, if you wish, on a no-obligation basis. This is the public service of these attorneys. Let me tell you who we have here. For workers' compensation law, certified specialist Alice O'Sullivan, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. For criminal law, certified specialist Jeffrey Hayden. For legal malpractice law, Peter Fortune, who is the chair of the Legal Malpractice Commission of the Board of Legal Specialization. Estate planning, trust, and probate law, certified specialist Catherine Ray Wong. For family law, certified specialist Janet Lee Frankel, also a member of the Commission for Family Law of the Board of Legal Specialization. for tax law, real estate, Frank Adam. And tomorrow, if you have a problem where your creditors are trying to get you in all directions and maybe you want to find out if bankruptcy might work for you, certified specialist Leon Bayer will be available tomorrow, Thursday, July 29th from 8 to 11 a.m. if you want to jot down his number. But no obligation, by the way. This is a public service on the part of Mr. Bayer. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. And if you call and the line is busy, please leave a message with your name and phone number, and Mr. Bayer will call you back. Now, if you have a question for my guests on the air, the number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And if you've tuned in the last few minutes, my guests are Associate Justice Lori Zelon of the Court of Appeal in Los Angeles, Bonnie Huff, the Managing Attorney, Center for Families, Children, and the Courts of the Administrative Office of the Courts, and Stephen Rubin, Certified Specialist in Family Law with law offices in San Francisco. And also a very fine website for you in terms of educating yourself is the Judicial Council's self-help website, and you might want to jot this down, www.courtinfo, that's one word, C-O-U-R-T-I-N-F-O .ca.gov/self-help, www.courtinfo.ca.gov/self-help. And let's start with Carl. Carl, I think you've been on the phone waiting patiently for us. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for taking my call.
Of course, go ahead.
Thanks again for putting the show on. My question and my comment really is concerning paralegals and legal document assistance.
Okay.
As a litigant, in other words, in pro per, I've been through my own family law case, and also now I'm going to be receiving my paralegal certification in, you know, next semester. I would like to see more involvement through by paralegals and legal document assistance. For example, if attorneys are doing pro per, perhaps they could give advice through a paralegal or something like that. And also, I see there's very few attorneys in child support court. I think it's a great opportunity for paralegals and LDAs to be involved in child support court. And perhaps also, I guess, special masters. So these are some of the ideas where I think that they could get involved. Some of the things I'd like to hear from your guests are, is there any plans to put lists out of what LDAs are available to people coming into family court? Is there any way perhaps Ms. Huff could be connected up with CALDA, the California Legal Document Assistance Association, and explore some of these ideas about
let me get Ms. Huff and my other guests to respond to some of your thoughts on this from your own experience as for your own experience as a pro per litigant, you then decided that you wanted to become a paralegal. Is that right?
That's indeed correct.
Yeah. Let me get some comments for you, Carl. Turn your radio back up if you would. Thank you very much for your thoughtful suggestions, and let me hear what our guests have to say. Bonnie, would you like to start?
Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations, Carl, on getting your certificate. One of the things that at the self-help website, we do link to two professional organizations of legal document assembly preparers and explain what that concept is for people who are, you know, interested in exploring that option. The courts cannot refer to any individuals. We can't refer to individual attorneys, and we can't refer to individual paralegals or any, frankly, commercial enterprise. So, for example, we don't refer to individual attorneys. We refer to certified lawyer referral services, and certainly, Chuck, you do a great job about explaining that process. So that's or refer to organizations that, for example, will link people to free legal services mm-hmm. agencies. Mm-hmm. But we're certainly very aware of the great work that Legal Document Assembly preparers do, and I hope that they will also be really involved. And I know they do now comment on the forms when they go out. We have a process where we get lots of feedback on any sample forms and rules, and always helpful to hear that perspective as well.
What about the child support area? Do you see that perhaps the role of paralegals will be increased or expanded as far as child support is concerned?
Well, from my perspective, I think they're very helpful in assembling and correctly filling out an income and expense declaration. That really does help the court a great deal. When you have accurate information, then, you know, any judge who sits in family court will be able to do a child support calculation, do a spousal support calculation. Having accurate information with all the requirements, the three pay stubs, the W-2 profit and loss statement, that's the kind of information the court needs, and that's where the value comes in, particularly on a child support case.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but under California law, a paralegal cannot do the kind of work that certainly Carl is talking about, or a paralegal generally can't do legal work unless he or she is under the supervision
correct.
Of an attorney.
That's right.
And that's not going to change.
Right. I don't know.
And properly so, it shouldn't change, because you need someone who is educated in the law and has become a member of the state bar to observe how someone else who is a paralegal is doing the work.
Right. For example, I'll give you a perfect example where I was an expert witness in a legal malpractice case where the paralegal filled out a box on the judgment and said spousal support waived, and it was entered. And the lawyer did not review it. And should I say anything more?
Oops. And that was a mistake, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, serious.
Very serious
mistake. Right. Okay.
And can I say one other thing on child support that I think is really important?
Please.
It's absolutely true. There are a lot of attorneys. There are not many attorneys in child support court, but that is one place where there are free attorneys that are provided by the court mm-hmm. to help people prepare their forms. They're called family law facilitators. They're in every court in the state of California, and they are expert in governmental child support.
Yes.
And they're much of the funding comes from the federal government because of the importance of making sure that people get that information accurate. And that is so that's a free service, and the Department of Child Support Services, there's a local child support agency in every county that helps people get their child support and, again, assists with the process. So, I mean, it's one of the reasons, frankly, that there aren't many attorneys is that there are these resources available. So people should know that they don't have to hire anybody, that they can get that service at no charge from either the child support agency or the family law facility. Program, though, of course, it's always nice if you can hire somebody who can go in
sure.
and represent
if you.
It's wonderful.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, we have a program with the Bar Association of San Francisco where we have volunteer lawyers who come into the court and assist self-help litigants in going out there, looking at their INEs. Going to the
INEs, what's that?
Income and expense.
Okay, thank you
sorry,
very much.
It's the
thank
line.
You very much.
Sorry.
We got to slow you down a little bit. Go ahead.
Anyway, and that's a wonderful process. Particularly, I was Judge Pro Tem, and we had one of my really good friends act as a lawyer in the courtroom, and we were able to settle three child support cases just with that assistance alone.
Let me do this. Let me remind you, it is our Call a Lawyer night. I'd like to make sure that the attorneys, are we missing any attorneys still, Martin? No, everyone's here? No, okay. We do have the areas of bankruptcy law, and I gave you Leon Bayer's phone number. That's tomorrow between 8 a.m. to 11. Mr. Bayer is a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, 1-800-477-3111. We have tax law, real estate, Frank Adam, family law, Janet Lee Frankel, certified specialist, estate planning, trust, and probate law, Catherine Ray Wong, certified specialist, legal malpractice law, certified specialist, Peter Fortune, criminal law, certified specialist, Jeffrey Hayden, and workers' compensation law, certified specialist, Alice O'Sullivan. That number, if you'd like to jot it down, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to talk to my guests on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. And let's talk with Lori. Lori, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
I'm interested in helping children who have to testify in court in San Mateo County. And I do a lot of work with my certified therapy dog. We work in hospitals, and we have read programs. Mm. And it seems that every attempt to try to work something like this with those children have been, maybe it's too complicated, but they haven't responded very positively. And I think it would be a really positive thing for those kids who are scared to death, because I know what the interaction is like, and I've seen changes in people the minute they touch the dog.
Do you mean, Lori, if I may interrupt you for a moment, do you mean to bring, if a child is going to testify, do you mean prior to the child coming into court, the child is introduced to the dog, gets a chance to get a feeling for the dog, and then the dog would go into the courtroom with the child?
Exactly.
That's very interesting. Bonnie, what do you think of that? Please respond.
I think it's a very interesting concept. Yep, certainly one that we should take a look at.
What do you think of that, Justice Zeilon?
Well, it is a fascinating concept. I did have a momentary thought about dogs in courtrooms.
about what?
About dogs in courtrooms, because some people are afraid of dogs. And
that's a good point.
We could handle it with other litigants. But I think anything that makes it easier for the child is a good idea to look at.
Yeah, very good suggestion.
Even if it's in a waiting room beforehand, to kind of take the edge off.
Yeah.
Because I think it could be swaying, I suppose, at one side or the other when you're in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a place for it if it could work out, but I don't know where to go. I've had closed doors, and it would be nice to know where an open door would be.
What would any of you suggest as to Lori's next step in trying to take the next step to try to develop or at least explore this further? Any suggestion?
Something that would have to be handled by the people at the local court.
It would have to be, not the administrative office of the courts.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Lori, since you're in San Mateo County, have you had a chance to talk to the presiding judge?
Not the presiding judge. I think the attorney, the deputy attorney or something like that, that kind of said yes but never returned calls.
I'll tell you what I would suggest. Why don't you try to call the San Mateo County Bar Association? See if you can speak to the executive director.
Okay.
That's John DiGiacinta.
Oh.
Tell him, when you call there, tell him that Chuck Finney suggested that you call him.
Okay.
And if he doesn't talk to you, you call me at my office, the San Mateo County DA's office, and let me know, will you?
I will. What's that number?
It's 650.
Mm-hmm.
363-4097. That's my direct number.
You're on. Thank you very much.
Because I think you have a very good suggestion. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah.
All right.
For your show.
Thank you very much. If you would like to call in with your question, comment, your concern, I mean, please don't be bashful. I mean, the fact of the matter is we have the great fortune of having a very significant associate justice with us on the program, Lori Zeilon. We have Bonnie Huff, who's the Managing Attorney, Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, Administrative Office of the Courts, and Stephen Rubin, a certified specialist in family law, a very, very experienced attorney. And so here's your opportunity to talk with them, if you'd like. And the number again, 1-415-841-4134. And if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. Call your own during normal business hours. You should be able to get a human being on the other end of the phone. Tell the person what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you and set up a half an hour consultation, usually in the attorney's office, unless you have some disability and you can't get into the attorney's office, and then I think they try to do it probably by a phone interview. For half an hour, depending on the county you're in, it could be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. It's a fine service for you to get some very basic information initially. So, all right, you're being very bashful tonight. I hope you're talking to our attorneys off the air for Call a Lawyer. Again, our number on the air is 1-415-841-4134, and I would like to have you call in if you'd like to. Now, Justice Zeilon, there is one of the things that you have recommended, and I think it's rather interesting to me, is creating the California Family Law Innovation Project. Now, what is that?
Well, that's an idea to keep going what we did. Family law should not be something that you look at once in a generation and then don't look at again. And there are always new ideas popping up all over. And as we found when we looked around the country and in other countries, that people are trying different things. Some of them will work here, some of them won't. And the idea of this innovation project is to be able to fund pilot projects and other attempts to test out ideas, to adapt them to California, and then to put them into use in our courts. So we want to keep the process of innovation going and to continue to improve family law by looking for good ideas wherever they may be.
Yeah, I'll just say we do have a caller.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, one example of the type of pilot project that Justice Zeilon is talking about is self-help centers. And we developed some pilot projects to try to provide information to people in California. It's an attorney who works for the court. It's a neutral attorney providing information and did evaluations of those programs, felt that they were, you know, very successful, both in helping the public and the courts. And frankly, the private attorneys also like them as a way to help those people who can't afford attorneys or in situations where somebody really does need private counsel to be able to refer that and explain how to use an attorney effectively. So that, as a result of those evaluations, we now have a self-help center in every county in the state of California. Oftentimes, they work in collaboration with the family law facilitator, that program I talked about that does child support.
It's a great public service. There's just no question about it. What about languages other than English? I know one of your recommendations is to have more languages available, Justice Zeilon. What do you hope to have happen?
Well, as you probably know, in the courts around the state, there are over 100 languages that are spoken on any given day.
Right.
And there are other parts of the Judicial Council that have been looking at increasing the number of certified interpreters and making other language services available. What we want to avoid is the situation where a family member has to come to court with another family member, often a child, in order to interpret. That puts everyone in a bad position, and it's not where we should be. And so we are trying to find both the resources to hire more interpreters, the resources to have more interpreters, because often there are just not enough certified interpreters, and to make the courts more accessible that way, because if people can't understand what's going on, they obviously can't communicate what they need to have happen.
And the interpreters, if the interpreters are increased in number, that is something that we would hope that the courts would pay for. Is that right?
Well, now the courts do pay for interpreters. They don't. You do not have a right to an interpreter in family law, and we are hoping that we can get to the position where all litigants can have an interpreter.
That's a wonderful goal. I mean, certainly in criminal law, one would have the right to an interpreter if one needs one. So you're trying to expand it to now family law.
Well, that's right, and obviously that's one of those issues that is going to be impacted by the budget.
All right. True. No problem there. No doubt about that. What I want to mention to those of you, I've finally awakened a number of you to call in, and unfortunately we're not going to have enough time for all of you, but what I want to mention to you is that we do have Janet Lee Frankel here, a certified specialist in family law. If you can't talk to my guests on the air, please make sure you call for our Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917, and ask to speak to Janet Lee Frankel. And certainly, hopefully, she'll be able to give you some help. Don, welcome to the program. Don, are you there? I guess we lost Don. Tell me who's next. We've got James. James, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you very much.
Hi. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've just got a question for your panel. You've been talking about making things easier for litigants to get into court without attorneys. And I know, like, if I want to do my taxes these days, I can get online and, you know, just put in the information to, you know, a tax program, and it kind of prepares all the forms. And I'm just wondering if there's anything like that you're working on in the courts to make it easier to get all these forms filled out and, you know, not have to duplicate things.
Great, great question. Bonnie.
Well, we do. And the Superior Court of San Mateo County has developed a tremendous program called Easy Legal File. It's available in courts throughout the state. And it is very much like those tax programs where it asks you questions and then fills in the forms based on those questions. You don't even have to really look at the form. And if you have questions as you go along, if there are concepts or things like that that you have questions about, you can, it will pop up with additional information. So that's a great program. It's available for divorce, for parentage cases where parents haven't been married to each other, and for hearings as well as other case types. We've also developed some other programs that help in the self-help centers so that people can use those kinds of programs with the assistance of volunteers as well as attorneys if they're not comfortable using a computer, and to help them through that process, because we are in a technological age and a lot of people are able to really effectively do a lot of their work at home or in a library using those programs. And all our forms are fillable online. If you want to get a divorce in California, the good
it's
news
it's pretty easy now,
it's
huh?
It's pretty straightforward. There are, you know, relatively speaking, there are forms that every court accepts and that you actually have to use, and you can fill them out online, and now you can save them, which is
For the future,
service.
for the next
so you
divorce.
Don't have to, in case you make a mistake, you can go back and fix it, right?
Well,
so.
Unfortunately, with our statistic in California, where I think we have a divorce rate of 50%, is it not?
Pretty
something
close.
Like that. I mean, it's a very unfortunate. Too many, but that's human life, obviously. Ramiro, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hello. Thank you.
How are you on the air?
Yes, I have a question for the for a family law lawyer.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm paying alimony right now, and I'd like to know for how long do I have to do that?
Well, how long was your marriage?
20 years.
A long time.
Long time, yes.
Well, there is no, if it was a marriage less than 10 years, there's a statutory presumption that half the length of the marriage should be the duration of the support for spousal support. Unfortunately, for marriages beyond 10 years, it's another story, because you could end up paying more than half the term of the marriage, and the court will retain jurisdiction for a long-term relationship and just will not terminate unless you are able to show that the party you are supporting is self-sufficient, or she has or he has been directed to secure employment and has not been able to secure employment.
Or if the other party gets remarried.
Remarriage, of course.
Yeah. So Ramiro, there you are. Now, did you have an attorney represent you in court?
No, I don't have anything.
But you had the court order you to.
She's living with somebody else. I don't know if she's married, but she's been living with this guy for about 3 years.
What county are you in?
I'm in San Joaquin County.
Are you?
Okay.
You know, did you ever go to the family law facilitator's office?
Yeah, I went and inquired, and they told me that there was nothing I could do.
Nothing.
The only thing is that I needed a lawyer. Well, I haven't been able to afford one yet. So.
Well, you might have a defense for based on there's a family code section relating to cohabitation, and that may be a basis for either a modification or termination, particularly if you've been paying for a long period of time. But I do think that you may have something there that needs to be explored.
What you're saying, if I may, Steve, you're saying that if Romero's former wife is living with someone else.
Right.
Another presumably.
And is being supported.
And
by
is
that.
Being supported.
Correct.
This is something Ramiro needs to look
right.
into.
Yeah.
So good luck to you.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Take care. And if you feel that your former wife is living with someone else who is supporting her to some degree, then frankly, I think the suggestion is go to the family law facilitator's office and see if you can get some help. Okay.
Or have a consultation with the lawyer referral service.
Yeah, or have a consultation with the lawyer referral service in San Joaquin County. I don't have that phone number, but if you look into the information for the county, you should be able to see the Bar Association of San Joaquin County, probably also listed the lawyer referral number. And you know, you're going to pay a modest amount of money. It may be anywhere from $25 to $35 for half an hour. That's well worth it. So good luck to you. I guess we have, I don't think we have any other calls right now, and we've essentially come to the end of the program. Justice Zeland, would you have some final comments for the listeners?
Well, I think the most important thing for the listeners is to follow this process and to look on the website and keep looking for information. And when they go to court, to ask questions about what help is available, what information is available, what the facilitator can do, what the self-help center can do, and to talk to their lawyers if they're represented about some of these issues. I would also urge people, if they can, as we go forward with this process, we're going to be seeking public information again and trying to find out from people what's important to them. And so if we call out for information, please give it to us, because we want to hear from people about what they think the family law courts ought to be doing.
Bonnie Huff, would you have some final comments for the listeners?
Well, I think it's incredibly exciting that family law is being looked at, that we're trying to come up with good solutions. It's a very important area, we know, for families and their children. And I'm very deeply appreciative of the many people who volunteered to be on the task force to work on this report, and who continue, just like Steve, and all the people who provided the feedback and guidance to us. And I think that the product is a good one and gives us a roadmap for the future.
Steve, do you have about 30 seconds?
The one thing that I'm very proud about our Elkins task force is we really address the issue of the opportunity to be heard and the right to speak. We know now with Elkins that people will be able to testify and have their day in court, and I think that was an incredible objective.
I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. Associate Justice Lori Zeland, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
Very nice to have you. Bonnie Huff, Managing Attorney, Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, Administrative Office of the Courts. Thanks, Bonnie.
Oh, thank
very
you
much. And Stephen, very nice to have you here.
It's always a pleasure.
You've always been a great guest. Stephen Rubin, Certified Specialist in Family Law with law offices in San Francisco. Your Legal Rights production staff members are Program Engineer Joanne Marr and Production Assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding is provided by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, if you're being hounded by debt collectors, we're going to be talking about debt collection defense and other consumer issues. My guests will be Elisa Della Piana of the East Bay Community Law Center and Allison Enderman of the San Francisco Bar Association. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Chuck Finney.